And I've had this privilege of working with individuals, families, and foundations to allocate more than $200 million towards impactful grant making over my career. And what I've found is that the more values aligned and meaningful philanthropy is for people, the more money moves.
Hello, I'm Megan Bell, the Director of Engagement at Daylight and your host. Welcome to Illuminate Philanthropy, a podcast dedicated to illuminating the world of philanthropic advisory, enhancing the profession, and amplifying its impact. We have just wrapped up our inaugural series of Illuminate Philanthropy, which focused on adapting to the eight key trends in philanthropic advising. These trends included shifts in client demographics, evolving definitions, various giving vehicles, challenging established norms, growing mistrust, wealth planning, utilizing AI for good, and navigating a complex marketplace. In this exciting new series of Illuminate Philanthropy, we're bringing you face to face with the thought leaders and change makers shaping the future of philanthropy. Join us as we connect with members of Daylight's faculty, learners, and advisory board. Seasoned practitioners who are driving real transformative change in the sector. Each episode offers a unique firsthand perspective filled with innovative ideas, practical insights, and inspiring stories that highlight the power of philanthropy to create lasting social good. Our guests just don't talk about theory. They share their lived experiences, offering behind-the-scenes looks at how they're working with communities, organizations, and clients to push the boundaries of what philanthropy can achieve. From the art of storytelling to the power of collaborative funding and the need for greater diversity with advisory roles, we're spotlighting the individuals who are redefining what it means to make a meaningful impact. Tune in to hear the powerful efforts and bold initiatives that are shaping the future of social change.
But I would say sort of my sweet spot is, how can we do philanthropy different? Like, how can I connect clients with best practices in the sector? So, such as there's collective giving models, participatory grant making, equity frameworks, and just strategies for starting initiatives. And I really try and use a portfolio approach with clients. Like, how can they use and leverage all of their assets and capital? And that could also just be a small percentage of their portfolio, just as many people do with their financial portfolio. They have some risky stocks, some moderate, and some invest in startups. And they can do that with their philanthropy or look at it as a whole portfolio approach.
Today, I am so thrilled to introduce you to our guest, Jamie Cortez. Jamie is a Daylight IPA Learner, Advisor of the Year, and the founder of Core Philanthropic Strategies. Jamie is a passionate advocate for transformative philanthropy with over 20 years of experience. She helps families and organizations maximize their social impact through strategic giving and innovative solutions. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be talking here with you.
I'm excited to have you. Now, I know when we did some pre-work, you shared with me that you have an accountability partner and you were encouraged to find your anthem song. And I've been thinking about that since we visited, but can you tell me more? Tell me more about that anthem song.
Well, sure. So yes, I have an accountability partner, the first one actually was Deanne, who talked to me about when I gave me advice about practical aspects of setting up a business. And then I met this other consulting powerhouse woman who helped me launch various aspects of in business. And we still meet weekly about our business growth goals. But we also have an anthem. And as I shared with you, my anthem is Break Your Soul by Beyonce. And a shout out to my sister friend Ebony, who knew I needed that song during a transition period to release negative thoughts and start this new venture. Although now that I'm rearing to go in 2025, I've been thinking about another one, maybe possibly Run the World, Girls by Beyonce. Some, I haven't landed on that yet, but I'm still thinking about it. And tell me about your anthem.
Well, you are sticking with Beyonce. I love it. Can I have more than one? Is it
Yes.
reasonable
As
that
long
I
as you
could
dance
every
to both of them.
Okay, well, I might have three and I'm trying to narrow them down. And it's interesting you should mention sister because my sister Michelle has been sending me mantra songs all of last year, which I didn't even realize I could turn into an anthem song. So I'll tell you my three. My first one is Good Job by Alicia Keys, if you haven't heard it, but Good Job. My second one is called Find Your People, which
Oh, I
is
like that
awesome by
name.
Drew Humble. And then the last one is Pink, and it's can't really say the word, but it's effing perfect. So my three anthem songs. But honestly, since you shared that with me, I was like, that is such a powerful a powerful thing to do. So I appreciate you sharing that with me. So those are my anthem songs. Encourage all of our listeners after today, come up with your anthem song, share your anthem song with us, because it is wonderful to wake up and dance. Jamie says you have to dance.
Yeah, what makes you feel confident and what makes you feel empowered and bold?
Bold. I love it. So you mentioned this. You've had an accountability partner who really has helped you through a transition, which has brought you to your own business that you started, Core Philanthropic Services. And when we visited last, we talked about starting your own advisory practice. Can you tell me more about that process and the meaning behind your company's name?
Sure. Well, I've been focused on philanthropic advising for almost 10 years and I love it. I love building real relationships with people who are passionate about positive change on an issue. And I've had this privilege of working with individuals, families, and foundations to allocate more than $200 million towards impactful grant making over my
Wow.
career. And what I've found is that the more values aligned and meaningful philanthropy is for people, the more money moves. So I really felt for myself it was the right time to explore new opportunities that aligned with my passion for sort of innovation, challenging traditional models, and embracing really forward, looking approaches. And when I shared my decision to venture out as an independent advisor, all I was met by friends and colleagues were encouragement and support.
Do
So
it.
I was really excited, and I think that there's this untapped space where people want to work hand in hand with someone who has a background expertise in philanthropy. And I can also bring that to professional financial advisors and tax attorneys of the service and background in philanthropy to move more money to community. I think that there's such a synergy of partnerships that can be made. So with starting my own firm, as you said, I work with individuals and families to create these strategic plans and think about how they want to make a difference with their assets. I do everything that most advisors do, create giving plans that turns visions into tangible outcomes, create comprehensive grant making programs and initiatives, research and analysis on specific issues or organizations, all aspects of family philanthropy. I also work with businesses who want to incorporate social responsibility into their core operations. And then I know you all talk about this at Daylight, but looking to also work with those who want to contribute their five T's, their time, talent, treasure, testimonies. And what I heard from your last one of your podcasts was truth. That's a new one to me, but also really helping others uncover meaningful opportunities in philanthropy, like volunteering, board service, collaboration, and strategic partnerships. But I would say sort of my sweet spot is how can we do philanthropy different? Like, how can I connect clients with best practices in the sector? So such as there's collective giving models, participatory grant making, equity frameworks, and just strategies for starting initiatives. And I really try and use a portfolio approach with clients. Like, how can they use and leverage all of their assets and capital? And that could also just be a small percentage of their portfolio, just as many people do with their financial portfolio. They have some risky stocks, some moderate, and some invest in startups. And they can do that with their philanthropy or look at it as again, a whole portfolio approach. And I can give some examples if you'd like,
Yeah, I
but
was just like, yeah, give me some real life examples to share with our audience, please.
well, I think it's like I will think of someone in the climate space, someone who's really interested in climate, but as so many people say, it's such an overwhelming issue. Where do I start? Will my funds even make a difference? And my answer is always yes. But I think in the portfolio approach, you can look at, okay, one, let's start donating. Maybe you love your neighborhood park because you're in nature and it's an opportunity for community and future generations to feel healthy and have social connections. You can also donate to large conservation efforts that are supporting our wildlife and larger natural spaces. And then I think there's the third part of donating, which is giving to what I like to say is community-led collaborative funds or grassroots groups. So those people who are most affected by climate issues that did not cause these climate issues and really should be part of the solution and making the decision of where the money should go. And I think this empowers individuals and people to have voices that are most, again, affected by climate impacts. And then I would say the second part of your portfolio is impact investing. Your capital can drive both financial returns and meaningful environmental change. You can invest in businesses, technologies that are reducing carbon emissions, promoting renewable energy, actively contributing to mitigating effects, helping entrepreneurs design new tech solutions to climate change. And I think by impact investing, you are also bringing others who may be more capital into the climate space and supporting innovative solutions. And then the third part of a portfolio is maybe engaging in 501c4s, where you can directly advocate for climate-friendly laws and regulations and push for urgent climate policies. So through my advising, I try and stay at the forefront of these advancements and empower the clients to really look at different effective approaches that can enhance philanthropic impact and foster sort of meaningful change. I think you asked me about how my name came about too. And I was just talking all about what I do.
Yeah, no. And I just appreciate that you shared this portfolio approach, because what I am experiencing is, one, there's so many ways to give and there's so many different vehicles to do it. And I think more than ever, folks are looking for that sort of full toolkit, right? That it's particularly impact investing. That's a relatively more emerging. And so what does that mean? What does that look like? So I'm thrilled that you sort of shared that there's more than one approach to giving, right? And to a cause you care about, right? It could be as simple as starting on the ground as a volunteer to, you know, a donation, but take that even further, like you said, to impact investing, collaborative fund. And I know we're going to get to collaborative funds because that is your sweet spot. So I'm excited to talk about that. But yes, thank you for framing that for us. But the name, why the name?
Yeah, well, first let me say, and I swear you didn't ask me to do any plugs, but as an IPA learner of an impact philanthropy advisor that I am currently in one of the cohorts, this is something that you all are teaching in the modules, all the different vehicles, all the nuances, that ways that people can give and use different charitable giving aspects. So I think it's been really helpful to have that landscape. But to my name, so I founded CORE, and it took me a very long time to decide on a name and a logo. I was using every kind of AI and it just wasn't getting me anywhere. And I specifically didn't want to use my name, Jamie Cortez Advising, because I hopefully want to grow one day. I'm manifesting that I will grow and I can bring in other incredible colleagues on my team. So I really like the word CORE, C-O-R, with no E, because it means heart in Latin, and it's the root word of courage. And in its earliest forms, it was originally meant to speak one's mind by telling one's heart. And if you know me, you know I speak my truth and I try and live by my values. And I also found out, which I didn't know, that CORE can be an expression of interest and admiration or surprise. And that really reminds me of my grandma, who just is full of big doses of love and hard work and determination that I try and use. And so I was really excited to have the name of CORE.
So you talked a lot about collaborative giving, and it is definitely becoming a more of a trend. In fact, we have a whole certificate coming out on collaborative philanthropy through Philanthropy Together at Daylight. More to come on that. But curious, you've worked clearly both in traditional and innovative philanthropy philanthropic models. Can you share more about your work specifically with collaborative funds?
I've had this incredible opportunity to work with some forward-thinking clients that have allowed me to explore different ways of giving, leveraging philanthropic resources through collective giving, community-led collaborative funds, and participatory grant making. So I think about this one client that we're all connected to in some way, who wanted to really shift 50% of his grant-making portfolio to community-led collaborative funds, really for the communities most affected by the issues, who should be the ones who decide where the funds are directed. And he felt that just because he was wealthy, it didn't mean that he should make all the decisions of where the money goes. So at first, it was really months of discussions around seeding power and donor collaboration and thinking about a strategic plan. And then I did a lot of digging and deep research, talking to others in the field, looking at numerous intersectional issue areas. I think that's one of the most special parts about community-led collaborative funds is that they're so intersectional in geography, in the interest, and you know, gender. There's just so much there, and they have deep relationships with communities on the field, people on the ground, frontline leaders. And so I was able to really meet a lot of those leaders, talk to a lot of those partners, and make a recommendation to this donor. And we're happy to say that he ended up granting 62%, a little over 60% of his annual grant-making budget into community-led collaborative funds. And in exploring that, we just thought, this is an incredible field, and it's growing, and the idea of giving more power and voice to community is something that philanthropy can and should be doing. And so, and then he ended up seeding so many efforts in the space. So I love that.
Just quickly define for me, what do we mean by collaborative fund?
Community-led collaborative funds are really, some would call them intermediaries, but they are working with organizations and people on the ground and helping those people are the ones who get to decide where the funds go to. And it's not the donors themselves, but it's more community who gets to decide. You know, they're the ones most affected by the issues, and they are the ones who should be the solution.
Thank you for that. I know it's probably obvious to some, but I just don't want to assume that every listener knows what we mean by collaborative funds. Okay, now we're going to get, not that we haven't gotten personal, because we know we've learned a lot about you. So reflecting on your personal experience, and as we begin to wrap up our conversation today, I'd love to hear from you, you know, about what, you know, what has shaped your understanding of what true impact looks like, what your experience, like, you know, what does true impact look like? What has helped shape that for you?
It's a very individual definition of what true impact means. And there's a lot of debate in the field of what that means.
Are you measuring impact? How are you measuring impact? It's a question I get daily. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could have an entire podcast on just about measuring impact and what impact means to donors, to nonprofits, to the issues and the organizations. But I think for me, when we can see real meaning behind and giving voice to community, that is impact. And I have one example in my previous work where I was working with the county where I live, and they created a DAF because they wanted to do some grant making to support 600 residents, which is the only family public housing unit in the entire county. Because I'm always thinking in the sector and looking at best practices and continuously learning, I have been doing years of research in sort of participatory grant making. I've been interviewing practitioners, being involved in the participatory grant making space and learnings. So I outlined a few models that the county could use. And the thought was to be able to have residents make the decisions on what they want to see in their community. That was really our guiding North Star. Mm-hmm. So we developed an open application process for people to join this committee. And then when they joined this resident committee, I helped facilitate the committee meetings. We provided training on grant making processes. And they had true, real, full input on setting their priorities, developing the guidelines of the RFP, and most importantly, deciding what programs would be funded. And they granted their first 500 across the spectrum of emergency assistance for other residents, scholarships, sports programs. So I find that just incredibly impactful, of this, you know, participatory grant making model. And then I would say, you know, all of that that I've learned, and I've been doing this for 20 years, was really my first boss and mentor, Fran Jamott, who really taught me what community-centered philanthropy looks like.
That's amazing. I'm in awe, and I'm totally privileged. As you said, 20 years, I thought back to what you said earlier about the $20 million that you've moved in your time. I mean, what?
200 million.
Excuse me, 200 million. I apologize. 200 million. 200 million in 20 years. I mean, that's impact, my friend.
Wish it was my own 200 million, but.
Well, we all do. We all do. But that is, I mean, that is absolute impact. And so I just feel really privileged to sit here with you today. And I mean, everything that just the takeaway, and I'm just gonna give you my thoughts on takeaway. First of all, have your anthem song. And I love that yours is Break Your Soul. If I heard, have a portfolio approach, like as a philanthropic advisor, you really try to take your donors down a journey where they're looking at it as a full portfolio, which means anything from impact investing to looking at other vehicles, right? I love that, and I mentioned this, the double the benefit. Take the same approach you would with your own finances as you to charitable giving. So I think that's just an awesome learning. The whole conversation around collaborative funds and collective giving, so powerful, so important, definitely an emerging trend. So I'm so grateful that you shared that with us as well. So much goodness in this conversation, so many nuggets for any practitioner out there. And I think the big takeaway, because particularly with Daylight, our goal is to help empower philanthropic advisors and individuals to create their own practice or within the practice they do to know and be mindful of the philanthropy, right? And all that the good that is there and what people can do. So I'm so grateful for you. And thank you for sharing that, all of this with us today. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, I'm grateful for you. Well, I'm grateful for you. Thank you for having me. This is my first podcast, so I feel very privileged to be on here with the Daylight team. I think you all have done an incredible job of building the field, and I'm excited to just be a part of that.
Well, we are excited you're in the field. Thank you for that shout out for sure. And we are grateful to everyone who is joining us with this journey of ours. We've got a community of awesome practitioners, which includes folks like Jamie. So please continue to follow us. If you want to learn more about what we're doing, please reach out to me, myself, or Deanne. You can contact us at daylightadvisors.com. But we are just thrilled to be in this space with everyone. So thank you. Thank you all for joining. Please stay tuned for the next episode. In the meantime, to learn more about Daylight and our Certified Impact Philanthropy Advisor Program, along with our new certificate program, please go to daylightadvisors.com. And please remember to subscribe. See you next time.